Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Toyota of Brookhaven has been voted best new car dealership in Southwest Mississippi 4 years in a row. Come see the difference. Exit 40 Brookhaven or online at toyotabrookhaven.com. Great service, great savings. At Toyota of Brookhaven, we deliver.
You're listening to the Rebel Report podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
Welcome in, everybody, on this Thursday night, week four already. Thursday night, week four of the college football season. Ole Miss, Georgia Southern, the last non-conference game of the year. What should you watch for? What am I watching for? What should you look forward to seeing on? Well, by the time most of you are listening to this, tomorrow in Vaught Hemingway, a sold-out Vaught Hemingway, by the way. Massive, massive credit to you guys, the fans, because these non-conference games, the opposing fans do not sell out their ticket allotment. They don't. And so, you know, you've got your season ticket holders and the people that plan to come like one time for the big weekends, the students, but there's 5,000 tickets that are allotted to opponents. And they, if they don't sell them, they return them back to Ole Miss. I've heard that Kentucky actually returned some of theirs. But selling out the Georgia Southern game, knowing that they returned allotment, is it's just a cool thing. I mean, I know that there's been talk about fans and not doing enough or whatever. That, spare me. I think that what you guys have done so far this season, so much red at Wake Forest last week, having 66,000 people, you know, paid attendance anyway at the Middle Tennessee game, and then a hard sellout for Georgia Southern, is a direct credit to you guys, because this is not the most attractive matchup. Although some people think that this is possibly the best team that Ole Miss has played to this point this season. So kudos to you. I will be there. I've told you guys this before. My son is so excited about getting to go to a football game like this for the first time. Although, again, I think that he's more excited about the fact that there's going to be fireworks and bouncy houses and stuff like that, more so than the actual football game. But still, there's only one way to get a kid hooked, right? And so I'm fired up to be there. Like you guys, I'm going to sit amongst you guys, me and my little man. So we cannot be more excited. And hopefully I get to talk to some of you guys. I've been invited to a bunch of tailgates and won't be able to get to them all, but just know that I and we appreciate you, and I'm going to try to do everything with him. I mean, I want him to see the band in the Grove and the Walk of Champions and obviously the bouncy houses and snacks and whatnot, but I want him to see it all. And so looking forward to that. Anyway, you guys don't care about that. You want to talk about the actual football game, and we're going to do that on this edition of the Rebel Report. Again, my name is Michael Borky. I'm very glad that you are here. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast if you have not already, wherever you get them. You've got a podcast app on your phone. Just search Rebel Report, subscribe, and leave a rating and a review. And if you're watching, don't forget to like and subscribe on here as well. Been in contact with last week's winner. I've got to send him pictures of the hat options that he won. He gets to pick one, and you guys will get the opportunity to do the same. Wait until the end. I will ask you for your score prediction at one time. It'll be towards the end, just so I can kind of consolidate them. If you're listening, again, send it to my email, Borky@supertalk.fm, or you can send me a tweet as well. But drop your score predictions when I ask for them, so I can make sure to keep them nice and tight. And that hat giveaway is courtesy of our friends at College Corner. There's one on Sisk Avenue in Oxford. There's a couple here in the Jackson area. And then, of course, collegecornerstore.com. So if you need game gear, or just if you want to rock Ole Miss stuff wherever you are, collegecornerstore.com is the place to go. So I will do that later. And looking forward to sending the hat, the first hat, off to last week's winner. Before we get into it, also, I want to tell you that the podcast is presented by the Gregory Law Firm. We all know that in life, bad things unfortunately happen to you good people out there. And if that is going to happen, or if it has happened to you, if you've been personally injured, or you have a small business in which you need legal advice, or maybe a contract dispute, DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm has got you covered. He's in Saltillo, but he can cover you anywhere. It's the best legal advice in the state, and you're not just, you know, another number to him. It's a more personal legal experience with the Gregory Law Firm. DJ Gregory, Gregory Law Firm, 662-397-9799 is the phone number. 662-397-9799. Don't delay. Call DJ today for all your personal injury, small business, or contract disputes. Save that number because you may not need him today, but that day may come, and you don't want to be wondering where to turn. Just keep that number right there in your phone. The Gregory Law Firm presenting the Rebel Report. All right, here's a handful of things that I'm watching for this weekend with the Georgia Southern game, and then we will get to your comments and get you out of here on this really beautiful Thursday night is what it's turned into. But first of all, to me, I think that this game is yet again, obviously, considering this point, the point spread, it's a 5-touchdown spread. This game is about Ole Miss versus itself. That is really what I'm focused on. If Georgia Southern is in this game, it's not this sounds condescending, but it's true. If Georgia Southern is competitive with Ole Miss, and this is a close game throughout, that is about Ole Miss more than it is about Georgia Southern. It's about the way the Rebels play and not so much about the way Georgia Southern plays. This is a game against themselves, and they're back at home, which helps, but you had your Power Four game last week. SEC play starts next week, and this is a Georgia Southern offense that can score. There is some firepower within it, so focus and attention to detail is going to be tested for Ole Miss this week. So the first thing I'm looking for is to see if they come out executing and firing the way they have the first 3 weeks of the season because of kind of where this game falls. It sits in between the road trip and the first SEC game. So is Lane Kiffin and staff able to get them to continue to start games the way they have, execute, punch their opponent in the mouth, and start really fast? They've done it for 3 weeks. There's no reason to think they're not going to do it on Saturday either. But that's the first thing I'm watching for is because of where this game falls, how do they look right out of the gate? But that's just kind of a free space. And so is this one, injuries. And more specifically, what they're going to do without these specific injured players. Jared Ivey obviously not going to be playing in this game. We won't get a real injury update until next week. We've talked about it already. Kiffin did not think that it was a long-term thing, nor did Jared Ivey's mom on Twitter. But still, in Jared Ivey's absence, who is going to fill what ended up being, obviously it's a big role considering all of the off-season hype and what he did for this team a year ago. But the snaps, who's going to take those snaps? Who is going to produce and prove that if Ivy's not available next week, they can be relied upon if the game gets tough against Kentucky? Is it going to be down to the freshman Cam Franklin? Is Suntarian Perkins going to have a big game? Is it Hardy? Who is it going to be? They obviously rotate a lot on the defensive line already, but that's something to watch is these guys that are not starters, who can step up and fill that role to try to minimize the impact of Jared Ivey's loss for however long that he is unavailable. So watching that closely, seeing the further emergence of Jerquan Scott, got his feet wet last week. What kind of role is he going to have? Is he going to be center? And what does that look like after his absence? Jordan Watkins as well. But offensively, I don't know if you guys have heard the rumors or not, or seen it reported, but Daquan Wright is injured. The initial rumor was ACL tear, but I do not believe that is accurate. But that was like the word that went out was, well, he tore his ACL, he's done for the season. And it does not appear that is the case at the moment. So what is Ole Miss going to do at tight end? Because he was playing a lot and was effective when he was playing. Is it the freshman that's going to play some? Do they use more four wide receiver sets when Prieskorn's not on the field. What will that look like in the absence of Daquan Wright? So injuries, but more specifically, how they replace those guys in the interim. Again, knock on wood, nothing appears to be season ending yet, but they have been bitten by the injury bug a little bit so far this season, and here they are again. So what will that look like? Injuries, free space, how they play coming out, free space as well. Georgia Southern cannot stop anybody, really. They're not a particularly good run defense, not a particularly good pass defense either. So what I'm going to be watching for is not necessarily the Ole Miss offense, because I expect them to put up big numbers, big points, big yards, because that is what this offense simply can do and will do to almost anybody. I told you guys before, I have completely drank the Kool-Aid on this Ole Miss offense. I think that they are a matchup positive against every team that they will play for the rest of the season, including Georgia. Now, that one's very, very, very close, but I still think, considering the experience, the proven nature of this Ole Miss offense, I think they're a favorable matchup against everybody. What I am watching the closest is the defensive secondary. That is the thing that I'm watching the closest in this game. I'm not worried about Jackson Dart. I'm not worried about the receivers. Does Bentley get more carries this week? We'll see. I don't think it's fair to judge the offensive line just yet, so that's kind of a wait-and-see thing. We'll see next week with Kentucky because they present challenges up front. I am not at all concerned about the defensive line, even in Jared Ivey's absence. They are very capable of rotating the way they have almost throughout the season. I think that they're going to be able to keep the starting four whenever Ivey returns their snaps. They're not going to have to play them 70 snaps a game or whatever the case may be. They'll be able to rotate because they've proven that the guys behind them are capable. Like, I'm totally comfortable with what they're doing on the defensive line, personnel-wise and rotation-wise. Totally comfortable with the linebacker position. I am not at all comfortable with the secondary. Not at all comfortable with it, and I'm curious to see if they start reducing the amount of rotating that they do. I'm curious to see if, like we talked about before, if Turnage gets more snaps, or how they try to alleviate some of the issues that they had last week with penalties and things like that. I believe that, again, like I said, the defensive line, I believe that they can continue to rotate like that throughout the season. I have not yet seen enough to believe that in the secondary they're three deep and that they're going to be able to play all these guys equal snaps and it just be okay. And maybe they're doing this at the moment because nobody's emerged, but I think it's kind of philosophical. But it's got to be better. If they're going to compete for a championship, it's got to be better. They cannot have exploitable weaknesses like we've seen with a couple of players in the secondary for Ole Miss. Do they change personnel? Do they give those players fewer snaps? Do they use safeties in different ways to get help there? Do they, you know, disguise cover? Like, what they're doing there, we'll have to see. I don't know. But that is something that I'm watching the closest in this game. Is personnel in the secondary, if they've made any adjustments, are certain players getting picked on again? Safety play is something I'm really curious about. That, to me, is the biggest takeaway from this game. Barring injury, knock on wood, or an unexpected, uninspiring performance, that is the area of this team that I have not been impressed with so far this season. I've been impressed with literally everything else, truly. I've been impressed with linebacker play and defensive line play. Been impressed with what we've been able to see from the offensive line, especially pass blocking. Been really impressed with Dart, really impressed with Parrish, really impressed with the wide receivers and the tight ends. They've all, I mean, criticizing any of that would kind of just be stretching to get there. You don't have to stretch on the back end of that defense. What will that look like? And it starts, I think, this Saturday. It's got to look better on Saturday if this team is really going to be a national championship contending football team. That's got to look better. And so you hope that it does on Saturday. We'll get to your comments after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Priority One Bank. They make you their priority every single day with their online banking platform. It's a one-stop shop. All you need is an internet connection, and you can do whatever it is that you need to do with your money. Because Priority One Bank makes you their priority. Podcast is also brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online at absms.com. Tell them I sent you, and you'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. So you tell them what you need and what your budget is, and they will find a solution for you on me. It's Advantage Business Systems, absms.com. All right, to the comments we go. Is it a hot take that the uniforms this weekend are your least favorite, not including the USA script? That is always great. These are my least favorite. They are mine too. But I do think the white helmet with the American flag logo makes the most sense. But yeah, I'm not. I think they still look fine. Like, it's still a good look. Forgive me, allergies. It's still a good look. But yeah, these are my least favorite that they wear. I think. This is the only game of the four. You have some pause about the Rebels covering. You're going to lean that they will based on how they played last week, seeking improvement. Yeah, I've thought about that too. If you're talking about betting on this game, because twofold. One, I wonder if Kiffin will want to dial it back more once they get the game under control because SEC play is here. Literally 7 days later, and because they have started to get bit by the injury bug a little bit, which is to be expected. It's football. It's a physical game. You get hurt. It's what happens. But part of me wonders if they're going to dial it back a little bit more. You know, they get up 4 or 5 touchdowns, whatever it is, and just, you know, start bleeding clock and running the football and focusing on shortening the game so they can get ready for Kentucky. And then also, I don't know if this is a factor at all or not when it comes to betting on the game, but there is a deep mutual respect that Kiffin has for Helton and Helton has for Kiffin. They both talked about it this week. It's actually a really cool side story in this game that both of them, you know, their careers got derailed at USC. You know, both of them at USC had their careers derailed and they had to pick up the pieces somewhere small. I mean, Kiffin had to go to the Saban school of coaching rehab, and Clay Helton had to go to Georgia Southern, which is a very proud and successful program, but it's not USC. And obviously their paths very much crossed and talked about, you know, Monty recommending Helton and all of that. So that is a very cool side story to this game, but also it makes me wonder if there won't be as much inspiration paired with Kentucky coming to town a week later to run the score up. So anyway, went to Furman, and going this weekend, seeing the stadium full for Furman at kickoff was really incredible. It really was. And I know that this team had the hype and preseason top 10 or whatever, but my gosh, it's Furman. I was impressed by that. Who's the better OC, Lebby or Freeze? Ooh, that's a good question. I'm not a believer in Hugh Freeze in offense anymore. I think that Mississippi State's early struggles are not an indicator of Jeff Lebby being a bad offensive play caller. I think the problems are deeper than that within the roster and all that. If you told me you need somebody to run your offense today, I think it would be Lebby to run my offense before Freeze. If you watch the band perform on the Ventures Hall side, that's where we walk out of University Avenue for the March to the Stadium. Be cool to see you. We will absolutely be there, 100%. I think he's going to love the drums because he walks around the house and just you know, hits stuff like it's a drum. He loves the drums. So absolutely, we are going to see you guys, Edward. And if you see me, flag me down. I don't know if you're allowed to do that with, you know, how regimented the band is and all that. But, yeah, we're going to do that. That is again, I think the drums he's going to love, just the size and the noise and all that. But Brandon, my friend, thank you for the super chat. And hell yeah, this is a good-looking shirt. PTG Outdoors. Look at that. Grenada Lake on the back. What is that? That's the PTG Outdoors on the sleeve there. And then because Brandon's a good American, the American flag right there. I love it. I love it. I'm telling you, man, these hoodies are so awesome. Next step is I got to get little man more fishing shirts because he loves to fish. So I got to get him stuff like this so he and I can we can dress together. While you're on campus, check out some of the new stuff they've built. The Duff Center with the path directly to the vault is insanely nice. Also, the new Grove sign is a great touch. Yeah, that Duff building looks amazing. It really does. And that's been a long, long time coming. You've heard Georgia Southern is horrendous against the run. They are. I mean, I think Ole Miss is going to have 700-plus yards worth of offense this week. I mean, there's, you know, because of how bad Georgia Southern has been defensively, I mean, if they get close to 8, I wouldn't be shocked either. Because it's what they're capable of on a weekly basis, but especially because of that. Look for the pick six this weekend. My pick for that was Amos. So if you don't think that's who it's going to be, who do you think it'll be? Part of you wishes the game was in the day so you could go home and watch Tennessee, Oklahoma, but night games are sadly at a premium this year. No doubt. It's very frustrating, but it's also going to be hot on Saturday, right? A little bit warmer than usual, or maybe not than usual, but a little bit warmer. For the end of September, let's see. Yeah, high of no clouds whatsoever and a high of 90. So this game being at night is an absolute blessing from that perspective anyway. And we'll get to see fireworks. I cannot tell you how easy it is for me to get him to want to do something if it means fireworks or snacks. Like something that he doesn't want to do. Hey, buddy, you know, after we clean the house, we can have some snacks. Done. Cleans whatever I tell him to do. Or fireworks. Hey, we're like the Mississippi Braves. May they rest in peace. You know, we went to see their Saturday fireworks a few weeks ago, and I really needed his help just picking up around the house and stuff. And we're going to go see fireworks. Okay, then I will do literally whatever you want me to do. It's amazing. Just let Wright and Ivy rest. I don't know this. I am just speculating, and maybe I shouldn't do that. I wouldn't be surprised if they're not available for Kentucky either. You're talking to an Auburn friend today about their quarterback situation, and we both agreed that they were more than a quarterback away, but you made a point that having a good quarterback can mask a lot of issues. I'm not totally convinced that – I've got to see more. It's not fair to him. It is absolutely not fair to him, but playing pretty well against one of the worst defenses in all of college football does not mean that they are saved the position. Saturday is going to tell us a lot about both of these teams. You're late, but coming in hot. Enjoyed your Twitter exchanges today. Borky, from now on, can I call you P-Brain? Yeah, you can call me P-Brain. Yeah, Arkansas fan getting upset with me for reminding them that their athletic director told anybody willing to listen that their fans don't participate in NIL. And I'm the pea brain for thinking that that's not a good thing. You got to know my thoughts on the Arkansas-Auburn game. It's your must-watch game of the week for multiple reasons. For some reason, I love the Hogs in this game. I love Arkansas. You've got a very inexperienced quarterback playing against an SEC, albeit not a great SEC defense for the first time. This dual threat quarterback that I think Petrino is getting a lot out of and schemes him well. And man, Auburn's got a lot of issues. And man, what do you think's going to happen too if Auburn starts 2-2 with a lot more difficult games on the schedule? I'm leaning Hogs here. I really like the way Petrino has schemed Green to this point. He's still a limited passer, but man, he's athletic, and I think that he's got a coach that will draw the best out of him. Made it to the Rebel Report. Your day is saved. Well, glad to see you, Brian. Thanks, man. Prescorn was hurt for the first half or so of last season. Nice that they have two great tight ends this season, so losing one isn't that bad. Exactly. Even when Prescorn played early on, he still wasn't 100%. So you wouldn't touch any of the lines for this game. What is the first half line or the first quarter line? That one seems to be the safest bet for Ole Miss, but they've been a cover machine lately. The under is easily the play on this game. Can Ole Miss keep up? They're not giving up a touchdown streak for four consecutive weeks. That is still an unfathomable stat. Michael Katz wrote a good story. I would encourage you to read it about that 1961 team, the last team at Ole Miss to do that. And it's excellent because Michael's excellent. And I would encourage you to read it. But people, and we got some texts into the radio show about it today. It's like, well, Ole Miss hadn't played anybody. No, but you guys act like everybody has played somebody. Or there haven't been SEC teams in the past that have started seasons playing an ACC, a Conference USA, and a SoCon team. Like, those are out there. Like, that has happened before, and they didn't keep their opponent out of the end zone for 12 quarters. That is still beyond impressive, regardless of who their opponents are. There's been so much garbage time, like, kind of, you know, where, you know, the stadiums clear out and the point spread is big and they still have locked in as a defense and kept their opponents out of the end zone. That's not just a product of who they've played. It's a product also of who they are. It's a fine uniform. Just looks like Nebraska. Really, you think they should have one white helmet, the Sugar Bowl one, and then use the navy powder lids with everything else and the road red whites. That makes sense, but you can't do the new uniform for every game thing that they're doing. Your gut says Tennessee wins big. Mine too. And because mine says that and everybody say that, should we fade ourselves? Should we fade the public? I cannot. I mean, I've watched Oklahoma play and Arnold's a good athlete, but they can't protect very well. And that offense just struggles to move the football. And are they really going to be able to keep up with Tennessee? But man, this is a tough place to play. And Nico's, I mean, he hasn't been put in a situation like this yet in his career. And while he looks like a budding superstar, this is new territory for him. Okay, the band plays at 5:30. Good to know. Good to know. So 5:30. And so because I want to try to get him up on the walk, but that's probably going to be tough. So kickoff's at what, 6:45? So that'll be at like 4:45? Okay. We're going to leave here like at 11 noon, somewhere in there. Get up there by 2, 3 o'clock. Anyway. The Curtain Rod Collective is buying Little Man all the drums just for my sanity. See, it's so funny. I have completely tuned all that out. It just does not, I don't notice like the play noises anymore. I completely tune it out. I've gotten lucky that way, I guess. He does not annoy me, quote unquote, in that way at all. Is Jared Ivey out for any games or is he good? I would not expect him back this week. Possibly not the next week either. I don't think it's long term, but I would not expect to see him on Saturday. Brandon, thanks for actually putting the flag in the right direction. Yeah, see? People get that wrong all the time. You don't know what the fishy line of the week was on the show, but you saw Georgia Tech is plus 10.5. At a Louisville team who has played no one, watch out. I think we settled on Tennessee, Oklahoma. I think that's what we settled on. Hey Dad just is in love with Tennessee, and I mean, can you blame him? You also love USC laying the points at Michigan. I do too. Cal to beat Florida State is an underdog for some reason. I mean, Florida State is going to win a football game eventually, right? Right? Like, they're going to win a game eventually, right? We'll see. Brandon, again, thank you, my friend, for the super chat. Again, check them out, PTG Outdoors. They are the fishy line of the week on Sports Talk Mississippi and an awesome partner of ours. You'll take turnage for the pick six. Loser of the bet puts up the curtain rod. I'm not putting up a curtain rod. It ain't happening. But that's a good pick, too. I think that he has shown enough to me to warrant more snaps, especially earlier in the game. We'll see. the prices in the stadium are insane. You're paying $30+ for two beers. Another reason it's hard to get people to stay four quarters for small games. Absolutely. I have been hoping that somebody at Ole Miss listens to the radio show, because I drop in the whole, hey, Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta has completely slashed all of their concession prices, and they're making more money because more people are willing to spend more instead of like eating before they get into the game. So hopefully maybe one day somebody up there will be listening, because we do have a station in Oxford, and they will do that, because yeah, $30 for two beers is nuts. And so instead you're going to go either drink as many as you can before you walk into the stadium, or leave the stadium to get one that's cheaper or essentially free. Has it been a good week for Hunter Yurecek? No, it has not. But also at the same time, man, I just, you know, if his fans are not participating in NIL, then he's making it known. But yes, that was, I mean, you've seen the movie Bridesmaids, right? Help me, I'm poor. That's kind of what that sounded like to me. And yes, I know they have billionaire boosters that help. I understand that. But as he said, three or four boosters cannot fund an entire SEC's NIL program, especially a school that cares about baseball. I mean, my gosh, you're talking about football rosters that are going to be, I mean, $15 million will make you kind of competitive next year. If the trend keeps going up, maybe it doesn't, but I mean, you've got $15 million+ football rosters, and then you've got millions and millions into basketball, and then a few million into baseball too. The Tysons aren't just going to do that every year. You've got to have recurring income, and they clearly don't have it. You don't think Auburn's particularly good on defense? I don't either. Did I see that Matt Jones is slightly outperforming Judkins? You got to chuckle out of that, especially since Ohio State has played even worse teams at Ole Miss. They did have an off week this week, though, but yeah, I did see that. If Nico starts out hot, watch out. I am a Lieva is one of the funniest names for a player to have in the portal era. One of my favorite moments that happened on the radio show was a while ago. Richard just said his name, and Haydad and I, we did not plan this. It just happened. Richard said his name, and Haydad and I both at the same time went, and I saw her face, like right away. It was so funny. It's like he and I's brains were like one at that moment. One of my favorites that we've had in a while. Odds Billy Napier gets left at the Golden Triangle Airport if Florida loses. Yeah, he'll get croomed. He'll get croomed, but they don't want to move on from him right now. They don't want to do that. That creates more chaos in a situation that already is chaotic. They want to fire him, but they also really badly want him to win this game. It's a funny spot to be in. Florida State has scored 21, 13, and 12 points this year, and Cal is the best defense of any of the four teams they've played. Yeah, and those 21, 13, and 12 points are Georgia Tech, Boston College, and Memphis. It's insane. You say you've tuned it out. Trust me, it's really easy to tune things out when only one ear works. Are you married? Because then you can pretend like both of them. Never. I'm kidding. Imagine if Florida State goes 2-10. Oh my gosh, my kingdom for a 2-10 Florida State. If it's $15 beer, they have $3,000 of your hard-earned money between the past three seasons. Oh, man. I would love to know who has spent the most money on beer in Vaught-Hemingway Stadium since they've been allowed to. Like, what individual person has spent the most, and how much money have they spent on it since they've. I mean, long gone are the days where you would have to sneak in floppy flasks and you would get a Sprite and tell the person working there to, or a Coke, and just say, hey, only fill it halfway. Only fill the stadium cup halfway. I don't need it all. I have a buddy. This is one of my favorite stories too. I have a buddy that we were walking into the stadium together. This was back when I was in college, and he didn't have anything on him. Like, he wasn't sneaking in alcohol, but he went in first, and he turns around and goes, guys, I'm in. They didn't get it. I'm in. And he's like pointing at his, like, his waist. He's like, I'm in. We're good. And he turns around and boom, gets tackled by a campus police officer to the ground. And they did like the full pat down. He had nothing on him. Oh, man. Good times. Good times. See, what you would do is you would either have to wear like compression shorts that were good and tight and put your whiskey like right. And sometimes you wouldn't get pat down at all and they would just let you in. But when they were being very stiff about it, one of my years, they were really stiff about it. So you would have to put it in spots where they could not touch. So you would put it, you know, right in the spot for a guy that cannot be touched. And a girl I was dating at the time, she would put them like, you know, on there, right? Because they cannot be touched. And that's how you get the alcohol in. Now you can just buy it after you take out a second mortgage. Some of these nicknames on the confusing last names are hilarious. One of your favorites is DJ just put the fries in the bag. Better coaching nicknames, Sunbelt Billy or Reverend Hugh. Sunbelt Billy is a really funny nickname. It is. And I really like Billy Napier a lot. I think that Florida's a more difficult job than people want to let on. And blaming him exclusively for Florida's problems is a joke when, again, as I say to you guys all the time, he was welcomed to the job with a collective that could not and refused to pay out contracts. Like, they had a contract and they just didn't have the money to pay it. That's what he started the job with in this era where money is paramount. They didn't have enough when he took the job and people were like, oh, it's just Billy. Well, then why did Mullen fail? Oh, well, Mullen sucks too. Well, why did McElwain fail? Oh, well, he sucks too. And all these coaches just suck there. Anyway. Your guess is Tyler Jordan with the most spent based on his donation for Jell-O shots at the College World Series. The security is so lax now, you can walk in with just about anything. Honestly, haven't been patted down once in a few seasons. Imagine that. Yeah, we had to, like, really be sneaky. You'd go to Canukins, right? Is that place even open anymore? It is not open anymore. One of my good friends worked there, too. But, yeah, you'd go there and get the floppy flask. Those things were perfect, man. South Alabama's destroying Appalachian State. I will take your word for it. I was actually watching the NFL game before I went live with you guys, and I'm going to go right back to that. Even Dan Mullen hinted at Lane shouldn't leave today. They could have maybe gotten him in 2021. Yeah, I saw Mullen's been a bit of a troll around this Florida-Mississippi State game, hasn't he? He's been a bit of a troll. Brandon, thank you for the super chat again, my friend. And people think Lane Kiffin would risk his career for that shit show. I have yet to see a compelling argument, frankly. I know the job's not open yet, but as I told you guys, I think on Tuesday or maybe Sunday, you're already seeing the narrative shift away from just go get him to, that's probably not happening. Like, all the job didn't even open yet, and people have already kind of conceded to, that's not happening. So you guys will have to deal with that. It'll stir itself back up when the job actually does come open. But I think the lines have already been laid down for most people where it's like, you know, that's not really it. Your favorite sneak in booze technique was using a deflatable water bladder from the Christian school you worked for. Attaboy. Attaboy. Water bottle in the waistband always worked like a charm. 10 years since the great Egg Bowl upset of 2014 will be an interesting storyline this year. Roles are basically reversed, albeit State is much worse now than Ole Miss was that year. And look, if State only has two or three wins by then, I mean, the rosters are already so dramatically different. to begin with. And so if you've got a team that's completely defeated like that, I wouldn't be too concerned about that. Yeah, I'm with you. It's more like 2008 than it would be then. How much do I think a playoff ticket will cost? I would love to know the answer to that. If you're a season ticket holder, I imagine it won't be as high as you think, because I assume you'll get first priority. And the secondary market, though, will be insane. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars. Hundreds of dollars. But it is the first on-campus playoff game, if that's what ends up happening. So anyway, you guys have a great weekend. I hope to see some of you at the game. Actually, I'll read a couple more messages. Why not? McCready and Siski's podcast had an interesting point in general just about Florida. Maybe hard for them to get a big-name coach in the playoff due to the transfer portal timing early signing day. That's it. And they're exactly right. No coach is leaving their playoff team to take a job. Like, it's not that is not happening. The precedent that will set will be a bad one, right? So if you're trying to hire a coach in the playoff, you either A, can't do it, or B, have to sacrifice not having a coach by signing day and through the first portal period. Like, that is a risk that I don't think you can take. That will just make everything worse for you. So, like, there's no, I have not yet seen a compelling argument for it, and there's a reason for that. Yes, yes, score predictions, thank you. I think I would have remembered, but I'm not totally confident myself. Drop your score prediction right now in the chat, and if you're late, that's okay. Put it in the comments. And if you are a podcast listener, you can send me an email, Borky@supertalk.fm, or you can tweet at me at Michael Borky. Any of those ways work. Drop your score prediction. Closest will win a hat of your choice. One of four, anyway, a hat of your choice from College Corner. CollegeCornerStore.com is the website. So drop your score predictions right here in the chat. The closest, the person that gets it right, or if multiple get it right, then multiple people will win a hat. If it's just one, then it's just one. The closest to get it correct will get a hat, courtesy of our friends at College Corner. So drop your score prediction in the chat or in the comments or in my email or Twitter inbox. And it's that simple. It is that simple. So I'm going to hang up. If you miss it, that's okay. Just drop it in the comments and I will see it. So thank you guys, as always, for being here. Score predictions, drop them in. Get a hat from College Corner. I will do something around the game for sure. It won't be like it usually is, obviously, because we'll be driving back on Saturday night. But you will get post-game content either really late Saturday night in video form. And I think I might record post-game reaction pod on Sunday morning. And then we'll do the live stream Sunday night. So Sunday live, as always. And then live chat counts. Live chat counts. So if you're in the live chat, that I can see that when that's over as well. So both of them, any of them, they all work the exact same. So y'all have a great weekend. Enjoy your game. Enjoy the game. Enjoy the games. And I will talk to you on... definitely live on Sunday night, but also a little something between now and then as well. See y'all then.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.